This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan, 877-881-1053. Frankel, injury attorney text line. If you want to get involved in the conversation, and if you can guess what Mike said while the intro was playing, I would like you to take a shot at that as well.
I'll give you $1,000.
You can also hit us up on the YouTube, on the Twitch, and I would be amazed if anyone like not only got it right, but got even particularly close to what Mike just said. You got me, Kevin Hagelin, Corey Majors, the famous Mike Bassick and Alec Medford. Gentlemen, welcome to the program. How are you today?
Good. It's Tuesday.
It's true.
It looks like we're going to have a meeting after the show, Kevin, and that's always a concern because every meeting, everybody out there agrees, could probably just be an email.
I agree with like 98% of meetings. Plus, also, I've held this belief forever. If you miss the day of the meeting, you just missed it.
Can we just do that today? Can we just be like, oh, no, we didn't know?
I mean, probably not, because now they can just go back in the archive and be like, well, Corey, you laid out your plan on air for how you're going to try to skip.
They're in a meeting right now, though, so they wouldn't know. So they don't know. Only way is if somebody snitched, Alec.
Why me?
Well, because you're the only person to see right now.
I mean,
Carter too.
I like
maybe Mike.
Plan.
Could be Mike.
I would never snitch on a good plan.
Mike's a narc.
Okay, let's.
Okay.
Let's go with cut number three. We're going to talk about the Stars. And for people asking, did he say something about Canada? Did he say something about politics? Have his Topps cards come in yet? No.
They're supposed to come in this afternoon.
Okay.
But that's not what I said. But I think that my Juan Soto, one of one, $100,000 card is coming in today.
Okay. Now, we're going to play all the Stars' first period goals. And just a hint, it was somewhere in the realm of hockey. Go.
Nice move to Shane. His shot scores. He found a hole as it leaked through Blomqvist. Our Stankoven shot scored. That one surprised Blomqvist off the wing, and Logan Stankoven makes it 2-0. Penguins, they are returning home. The shot score by Marchment. It's an early assault here in Pittsburgh. The Stars in half a period have struck thrice. Well, Bankett gets off a stick, still across. Heiskanen scores! What work between Heiskanen and Marchment! And number four makes it 4-0. His first of the year. And the Stars take it away. Heiskanen could have a break. He's in. He scores! Back to back! Heiskanen has two. Bang, bang. The Stars have five. Okay. The Stars numbers the other way. Marchment with Sagan fed their score. Tyler Sagan on the power play and make it a half dozen here in the first for Dallas.
So the Stars have a 6-0 lead at the end of the first period. And in case you're curious, what did Mike say right before the show was
Stick
starting?
That in your yager.
He said, Mario Lemieux sucks. And that is, I swear, that is what he said. Dude hasn't been on the Penguins in, what, 25 years?
Yep. Take that,
but
Mario.
That is what he had to say, is that Mario Lemieux is no good. Now, I know what people caught wind of course, or put together, was that the Stars scored as many goals as the in the first period as the Cowboys had points. They eventually kicked the extra point, and they would win 7-1 over the Penguins. An amazing offensive display in the first period. Marchment with 4 assists.
That's awesome.
And the Stars crush the Penguins.
Yeah, that the Mason Marchment part of it. Listen, the Penguins aren't great right now. They've been in their struggle bus.
What's better, Penguins the hockey team or Penguin the TV show?
TV show, absolutely.
For sure.
If you haven't seen the Penguin on is it Max?
Max.
Then you need to
he takes over Gotham.
Yes. Okay. Thanks, Mike, for breaking that news. The
It's Batman. All the bad guys eventually take over Gotham, and then Batman comes and ruins their day.
But that is a fantastic show. But the Mason Marchment part of it, him having that kind of an impact on the game, significant deal with all the assists, setting people up. That's awesome to see. And then, Kevin, it looked like everybody got a little piece yesterday. That was the great thing. I know the board says kind of different on, like Ropey didn't get a goal or an assist, but everybody got a little bit of the action yesterday. I'll be honest, man, the Penguins netminders all looked like statues. They did not look like they could move fast enough to keep up with what the Stars were doing. And I don't know if this was a revisit of what the Stars are going to be or just a one night off kind of thing, but they were pushing last night and they were pushing up front, and that was showing. I mean, when Miro's running in or skating in, getting slaps like that, it's significant because of what they're doing on the front end.
So one of the things that I thought was really cool, and we've talked about this a couple of times already throughout the season, is Logan Stankoven looks like he's as advertised. Because you were about a month into the season for the Stars, and I think at the end of last week, we talked about maybe some things that hadn't lived up so far for the Stars. But one of the things that has been really impressive thus far is, I think, Stankoven. And that's reflected in, I know they lost the 2 in Finland, but otherwise, the Stars are 9-3. And you can't just magically remove those games, I understand that. But on The Athletic, they went through, like, who's going to win the Stanley Cup in terms of predictions then versus now. In the preseason, the Stars were second with 21.4%. Now, they're first at 38.7%. Now, part of that is because...
Go ahead and end the season now then, Kevin.
That would be great. Part of that is because the Stars have been playing well. Part of that's because Edmonton has not been playing well. Right behind them is the Florida Panthers, which makes sense because obviously Florida's been playing really well too. But what I want to point out is for The Athletic, 38.7% of their writers think the Stars are going to win the cup. 12.9% think the Stars are going to be runner-up. That means it's just one site, but it's a site that I think we all appreciate. Just above 50% of the writers for The Athletic think right now the Stars will be in the Stanley Cup final.
Oh, really?
Like,
that's a significant number.
It is.
You get around 50%, Kevin.
Uh-huh.
That can be a huge factor for you.
Yes, it can. I don't think we have to dive into the Electoral College and everything like that.
I don't have a clue what you're talking about.
I think you do know exactly what I was talking about. But it was good for the Stars to get another road win and obviously bounce back. It's been a tough stretch. You went against some of the more elite teams in the Panthers and Winnipeg, and you lost all three of those.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I realize two of them were back-to-back in Finland, but still, you lost all of those. So to get back on the winning track, clearly a good thing.
On the front of one of the discussions we did have last week, I don't think that Wyatt Johnston is a superstar in the making.
Okay.
I think he's a star for sure. Stankoven, I feel kind of the same way.
Okay.
But again, I talk about this team in that manner is that there are a bunch of dudes that I think can be stars in the NHL. Stankoven's size is, he's a smaller fella. But because he's so scrappy and he decides to play big, that's the difference for him. His stick just feels like it's, he gets more reach with it. His shot's quick. Everything about what he does in his game is so much fun because you're like, I could do that if I had all the skills that he had, but I'm just kind of the same size as that guy.
Would it be a disappointment if...
He also seems like an irritant.
I mean, which is good when he's on your
team. Exactly.
I can see how everybody else would hate that. Would it be a disappointment if Wyatt Johnston didn't eventually become a superstar? Like if he was just like, man, that's a really good player. Do you think that would be a disappointment for people? Or do you think they would be like, no, that's kind of what I thought.
I'll be honest. I don't know what the expectation was before. But again, if you're competing for and winning cups, no, I don't think anybody cares,
yeah,
right?
That's fair.
And that's why with this amount of talent that you have, the veteran presence talent, the youth that's growing into veterans right now, that's good for the team because, Kevin, it's turning over and you're just adding more youth to what's growing into really solid talent that feels like it's top end in the NHL.
So DeBoer said that he thought Stankoven and Wyatt Johnston could both be 1.0 per game players. Now, even that doesn't necessarily make you a superstar by any means. And it is early in the season, but Stankoven is right at just a touch below that 1 point per game. And then Wyatt Johnson is at half a point per game. We talked about this last week. It has been a slower start. Adjustments have been made with Wyatt Johnston because of that. But Logan Stankoven has really been my, you know, I guess kind of bright side to this whole thing. And then obviously Casey DeSmith, the backup goalie, has done a good job in several appearances. And so I think those two things.
Give Otter the rest he needs throughout the year.
Yes. I think he's played about a third of the games. And if you have that breakdown, about two thirds for Otter and a third for him, then I think that's a good breakdown. And so those two things really stand out to me as things that I've enjoyed from the first month of the season.
How many games do you want the emergency goalie to play throughout a year, though?
None.
I love the idea of being the backup
emergency goalie.
Is it
because he's like an accountant and then he has to come in and you're like,
Mike, have you ever heard this? The emergency goalie in hockey?
There's a guy in the stands they pick out and they give him the number 12.
Can you imagine?
That is, no.
Can you imagine just being like, you're like, hey, you know what? We need an emergency closer tonight. Get that guy. We're going to bring him in. He's going to come in. He hasn't pitched in 3 years, but guess what? He's always the emergency guy. And it just goes in, or the emergency backup quarterback. I love it. I love it.
Why can't they just make somebody that is a player on the team, like, put on the pads? Like, we're not bringing in some fake guy who's not on the team. Like, we sometimes have a position player have to pitch.
That's true.
The game is over and you're screwed. Like,
and sometimes you run like the wildcat quarterback because you're like, I got nothing.
Sorry, douche. Like, you got to put on the gear.
That would be Matt Duchene. Mm-hmm. Then, of course, he's referencing.
Yeah, what another fantastic addition by Jim Neal, too.
I agree. Now, for the 972, 70 points plus per year, super solid defensively would be what they would be looking for, and that would meet kind of their expectation. Not a superstar, but a stud. Wanted to throw out a couple of other things for you. In the Athletic, we just talked about this, their power rankings, which actually came out a few days ago. They had the Dallas Stars at number 4.
Okay.
But Jamie Benn, obviously we've talked a lot about the collapse of the Cowboys, and so some things have fallen by the wayside. I believe it was on Thursday, Jamie Benn did something amazing. He was involved in 16 faceoffs. He won all 16 of them. He is only the 6th player since they started tracking this in 1997 to win at least 16 faceoffs without losing a single one.
Really?
So two things. First of all, are you impressed by this? Second of all, what do you think was the kind of come to Jesus moment for sports when they were like, we should be keeping track of things? Because like the NFL used to not keep track of sacks. Now we're like, the NHL didn't even care about who won a faceoff. Like, what do you think that moment was? And they're like, you know, we should really be keeping track.
You mean like
of this.
The first time they started keeping stats?
Yeah, like what do you think led to that?
I feel like it
was
baseball. Baseball just seems like it was always stat sport. Like somebody had to keep up something.
So from the beginning, they're like, we're going to keep track of this. And everyone else is like, you're dumb.
When when Babe Ruth started hitting home runs, they were like, we need to keep track of home runs. So I'm going to date it back to there. I don't know anything before that, Kevin.
Okay, I wonder if the NFL was like, you're keeping track of all this? Get the hell out of here.
And that's an interesting thing, too, because you don't know what is important, really, right? Because the new stats, like you were talking about QBR the other day.
Yes.
That stat replaced...
It's a fake stat.
That stat replaced
rating. But people use it now.
Yeah. And it replaced rating, and that replaced yards or touchdowns or, you know, like what's really important.
Tackling the quarterback before he threw the ball was not important until like 1978 or something.
And because of that, now that was the job of certain people, and they probably have missed out on the Hall of Fame thus far because they were like, oh yeah, okay, I can keep track of that.
Seems like it's important.
And in baseball, it feels like we've always known who stole the most bases on a Tuesday in March. You know, and you're like, nobody for a long time because they didn't play.
Called spring training.
Yeah. And they keep those stats too.
I do. And then they throw them out the window.
Yeah, that is.
Because nobody can go like, man, what did he average in spring training in 2011?
Yes.
Odor does.
Mr. March.
For a reason.
Which is probably not what you want to be called. So the Dallas Stars.
Did he ever walked around the clubhouse saying that, Kevin?
He might have. But as long as he had at least 2 to 3 buttons undone.
They call me Mr. March around here.
Okay. And I know this is just a movie, but I think the movie Mr. Baseball threw me out because he was like, hey, I was the team leader in eighth inning doubles in September or whatever. And so now I wonder if like all players have some stat in their head. They're like, hey, don't diminish me.
I still have a shoot-to, though.
Yes, that's right. Always. That is right. If you haven't seen Mr. Baseball, you're probably okay without it.
It's great.
I hope it's not a bad word I said in real language, yeah. But it's just like a hole.
I just thought it was a pitch.
Yeah, it's like a spot where you can't hit.
Yes.
Like it's his weak spot.
Now, by the way, the Stars will be back in action Thursday against the Boston Bruins. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for Mike to ask all the football questions.
Like Patrick Mahomes, is he worse?
Oh.
Next.
Wilson settles back, raises the foot, gets the snap, back to pass, looking, going to float it up left for Williams, and Williams makes the grab in the end zone. What a throw! What a catch! Mike Williams in his first game in a Steelers uniform has hauled in a 32-yard touchdown strike from Russell Wilson.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan, and it's time for Mike to ask all of the football questions.
I didn't know that was going to be our highlight coming back, so here's my first question. Who's going to have a bigger impact on their team, Mike Williams or Jonathan Mingo?
I'm going to go with Mike Williams.
Short-term or long-term?
Yeah.
I will remain with Mike Williams.
Well, I mean,
do you think the new head coach and new offensive coordinator of the 2025 Dallas Cowboys is excited he doesn't have a fourth round pick and has Jonathan Mingo as his number two receiver that Jerry's going to force him to play?
Quite possible.
No.
Quite possible.
Yeah.
What do you mean? No.
Is he going to be excited he doesn't have a fourth round pick?
He could be. We don't know what his goals are.
Okay.
We don't even know who the coach is yet.
That's true.
All right.
Will we pony up the money for the Lions or not?
Deion Sanders makes $10 million in college, and Mike McCarthy makes like $5.5 or $6.5. So I'm just kind of curious on how that's going to work.
All right. I'm going to now ask my first real football question, not based off of the Pittsburgh Steelers highlight we played, because Kevin's obviously a Steelers fan. Congratulations. They're 7-2. Good deal. They're working out.
But who did they lose to?
So, Cowboys.
That's
no clue.
And you always said Russell Wilson was better than Tony Romo, too. So, you're a huge Russell Wilson fan.
There was definitely a time when I thought that was the case.
I remember.
So, I'm wearing a Chiefs hat today. Deal yes. with it. My first question is based off of the Chiefs quarterback, Patrick Mahomes. This is going to sound like a stupid question, but I think it's worth a conversation. Patrick Mahomes, in his first season as quarterback, was the MVP. He was a rookie,
yeah.
Sat behind Alex Smith, and then his second year in the NFL, his first year as a starting quarterback, he was awesome, and the stats are unbelievable. 16 games back then, not 17, 50 touchdowns, 12 interceptions, 5,097 yards.
Man.
Is Patrick Mahomes a better quarterback than his first season as the starting quarterback?
Is he a better quarterback now than he was at his first season? Yes.
I'm going to say no at this moment because all the stuff that he's learned from an intelligence standpoint and football standpoint, man, his physical abilities has really been diminished this year. And so I definitely think he's smarter, but at least this year, absolutely not.
Okay, so Corey, expand on your answer because Kevin... Me and Corey are on the same wavelength here. But I hear what you're saying. Stats-wise, you can't argue the stats.
Yeah.
But now, how much do stats matter in, is Patrick Mahomes really
winning
a worse
games.
Quarterback
yeah.
than he was when he was just fresh out of college for the most part?
But did
and
still win
know?
The MVP. Like, there was this yeah. pretty damn high bar that
yeah.
year.
Yeah. Like,
do you think Kansas City in a way, Kevin? Corey, go ahead and answer, because now I have another question for Kevin.
I just think all the championships are what makes him smarter and a better quarterback. He carries those into each game, and then that weighs heavily.
I feel like I will answer it a little. I'll expand. Is his experience and all of the games that he's played, and I get how great he was in 2018. It's interesting because the stats this year, 12 touchdowns, 9 interceptions to 50 and 12. Now, I get it. There was 16 games to 9 games. 8.8 yards per, per yard, per whatever. Shut up, bastard.
Attempt.
Yeah, thank you. 7.1 this year. So every stat would suggest he was a better quarterback in 2018 than 2024. But there, to me, I'm like, there's just no way that he was a better quarterback in 2018. How much does it have to do with weapons? How much does it have to do that nobody had any clue that Patrick Mahomes was good at football?
Oh, that could hitting be. The scene definitely was a huge factor.
I guess I look at it like this. And, like, obviously in a season, things are going to break your way sometimes and not break your way. And especially, I'm very much of the belief that if you're a good team and a good organization, things break your way more often than not. And the Kansas City Chiefs are a good team. They're 9-0. Game one against Baltimore, a toe. Game two, they needed a 51-yard field goal at the buzzer. In these last two games, coin flip. And this last one, they blocked an easy field goal. That's four things that, like, yeah. I know they're 9-0, and they're a good team. But all of those things going their way is quite astonishing. And I think their record is misleading. I think they're a good team, like a 7-2 team, but not undefeated team. Yeah, here we are.
I don't disagree with you on that. It's just interesting when you look at Patrick Mahomes. This is the worst season of his career, yet they are 9-0.
Yeah, which is crazy.
So if you just want to look at stats and ratings and QBR, I guess his QBR is a little bit better than last year. His QBR last year was 63.9. This year it's 67.7. His rating last year was 92.6. This year it's 90.3. So if you look at the last 2 years or season and a half here, you'd say, well, Patrick Mahomes is playing his worst football, yet he won the Super Bowl last year.
For sure.
Super Bowl MVP. This year he's undefeated, and I get his team is undefeated. Obviously, he doesn't have Tyreek Hill. He doesn't have in his prime Travis Kelce. I don't think Travis Kelce is what he was a couple years ago. I think we're seeing the decline of Travis Kelce as a premium player. Okay, I think he's still good.
I was going to ask how good that makes him then, but still
I think,
good.
Like, I don't know. I would guess like the fourth to sixth best tight end in the NFL. When I think if you go back 2 years and then before that, he was the best tight end in football. So he's fallen from, like, I don't know, this maybe isn't fair. Zach Martin, maybe Zach Martin's fallen more.
Okay.
But the way Zach Martin was like, yeah, I think he's the best guard, or it's the guy Nelson in with the
Quentin
Colts,
Nelson,
right?
Yeah.
That was kind of the who is the best guard in the NFL. And now you're like, hey, probably Zach Martin's still a top 10 guard in the NFL. Yeah. But
according to fantasy points scored this year, he's third.
Travis Kelce?
George Kittle's first, Brock Bowers second, Kelce third, and Trip McBride fourth.
Okay.
That's just fantasy points.
Yeah, so it's just interesting. I was just thinking about Patrick Mahomes, and my son was asking me this. I know fantasy football stuff, but it is what it is. Everybody plays fantasy football, and they base a lot of things off of fantasy football. You just based off of, like, here's the fantasy football points per game. Travis Kelce is third in the NFL in tight ends. My son has Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen. Obviously, he plays, like, in a two-team league, I'm assuming, at this point. But I know he doesn't. But he's like, I think Patrick Mahomes is going to be better than Josh Allen the second half of the season based off of Patrick Mahomes' history.
Interesting. That's fair.
And I was like, that's an interesting take, because I was like, I think Josh Allen is going to put up better stats the rest of the year than Patrick Mahomes. But he is of the belief Patrick Mahomes is Patrick Mahomes. His stats are going to be really good at the end of the year. Do you think Patrick Mahomes is going to have, I'm not saying record-wise, go 8-0. Do you think he is going to have much better stats in the second half of the season than he did in the first half of the season? 2,200 yards, 12 touchdowns, 9 interceptions.
I do, and I still think, I definitely do, but I still think it's going to be like a humdrum year kind of for him, you know?
Okay.
Because he's put up such amazing statistics, I think it's going to look closer to like last year in terms of the touchdown.
14.
Yeah.
Okay. Corey?
I'm looking at this is interesting, a fantasy football strength of schedule projector. And green means great game against. Red means bad. He has one red game, and then everything else is gray, which means he should be
average. Okay.
It's an average opponent.
Yeah.
He doesn't have any green left, but he's good against average opponents sometimes. So, but a lot of it does look like he has some tough opponents, but he does have Carolina on there.
And to your broader point, There is no game that the Chiefs are going to go into in the playoffs when I'm like, well, they can't win that game.
Yeah.
Like, there is no game that I feel like that.
So this is an MVP question.
Okay.
Patrick Mahomes keeps putting up numbers similar to this. Gets better, but similar to this. They end up going 16-1. I won't give him 17-0. Yeah. Does he just get the MVP because they went 16-1? Nobody's going to come close to that record. I mean, if you look at what's happening in the NFC, probably 13-4 is going to be the one seed.
Oh, I mean, the Lions might end up 14-3, but I think Jared Goff obviously really shot himself in the foot in this last game.
Yeah, so I hear what you're saying.
That's a good question,
Lions, I'm just wondering, does Patrick Mahomes, where he doesn't have a good year as in stats-wise, but he takes a team to a 16-1 record, do you give him the MVP based off of his team's record?
Okay, if they beat Buffalo this week, I definitely think that kind of changes up the equation. If Buffalo beats the Chiefs, and let's say that's the 16-1, like, because they just lost to Buffalo, then I wonder about Josh Allen being the guy that gets it as opposed to Patrick Mahomes. Because obviously both Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson have gaudier stats, and if they have really good records, that could be the difference.
All right, so now I'm going to change to another quarterback that really isn't getting much hype. At least I'm not seeing it. Maybe you guys are like, no. If you go to this website, he's getting it. Kyler Murray is having an unbelievable year. He has 12 touchdown passes, 3 interceptions. He's thrown for over 2,000 yards. He has 371 rushing yards for 4 touchdowns. So if you add the touchdowns up, he has 16 touchdowns rushing and passing. Completion percentage is good. Like, you just look at a lot of things. His rating is 100.8. Is Kyler Murray, again, I'll say question mark top 5 quarterback in the NFL?
So if this makes any difference to you, betting wise, he's about 6th for MVP. So there are people who are keeping track. Now, he kind of varies between, depending on where you look, Jalen Hurts, Jaden Daniels, and then in some spots kind of down in the Joe Burrow category. But in most places, he's like about 6th for MVP.
Yeah, I think he could work his way into the top 5, though.
I could agree with
that.
And
the addition of Marvin Harrison Jr. was great. It was fantastic to give him a target like that to work with. McBride has been a phenomenal tight end addition that they got from Colorado State last year. And he's grown into what my buddy went to Colorado State, and he was like, watch out for this guy. And he's turned into exactly what he is. I'm kind of looking ahead at their schedule, Mike. Seahawks, Vikings, Seahawks, Patriots, Panthers, Rams, Niners.
That sounds like they could make the playoffs.
They're already ahead in their division. The Niners game could be the division like decider at the end of the season.
Yeah.
That could definitely come down. But he's back to being a, hey, man, he's in the conversation. You got to watch out for Kyler Murray again.
All right, so you can text in. This is my final question. It is a Cowboys question. Okay, text in on that text thing.
877-881-1053. And by the way, if you miss Jerry during Sean and RJ, we'll hit you with some of that later. But Jerry also said that Dak is, in fact, out for the rest of the year.
All right. Don't tell me the player. I don't care. In the perfect scenario, the Cowboys pick what position with the top 10 pick they're getting? Like, they're gonna pick in the top 10. So don't tell me Hunter this offensive lineman for University of Texas. I don't care. Don't tell me who's on the board. I don't care. You get to pick the perfect position that will help the Cowboys the most, because don't rely on your second round and third round and fourth round. You're hoping they work out. Your first round pick in the top 10 needs to be a future star and an immediate impact player. I don't care of the name. I don't care who's in this draft. What position would you pick to help out the Cowboys the most?
I think that the offensive linemen are going to get better. Like, that's just me. Now, the question on this is, what's my coaching staff look like? Because if I have a coach that's an offensive guy, I want a running back. I want a real running back that can do his job. And on the defensive front,
you just took a running back. It's over.
Yeah, I guess again, that's with an offensive coordinator, guru, coach. I'm going with a running back. And I'm going to go with the running back and then and probably not re-sign him. So that's another thing down
Kevin,
the road.
Kevin, you get the perfect position for the Cowboys. You have the number one overall pick in this draft, let's just say.
I want a great interior defensive lineman.
Okay.
I do.
And that's what I've been dying for my whole life
and
here.
The Cowboys have told us a few different times, I don't know if I care about that. But
give me an Aaron Donald.
If I get to decide.
Maxie or whatever his name is.
Give me a Mazio John Randall. Smith.
But not my
buffet pizza
Vince
guy.
Wilfork. Yeah, I'll be
he
very
happy.
He
ruined everything. If you thought that they were out on defensive tackles, when they took the one risk and got a dude who's going to be out of the NFL after 2025, that is going to be a real deterrent
just
in the first round the rest
Michigan
of their lives.
Everything will be fine.
But I had so many people telling me how much better he looked during training camp. Whoops. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for Baseball Nuggets with Mike Bassett.
Why do the Major League Awards stuff screw over the Rangers intentionally? Next.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Fort Worth, if you're waiting for us, Thursday, we'll be at Martin House. Friday, we'll be at Buffalo Wild Wings off of Quebec. So we're going to be hanging out in Yo City. Now, it's time for Baseball Nuggets with Mike Bassick.
All right. I have a bone to pick, and this does hurt the Rangers. It's not that Wyatt Langford was going to win Rookie of the Year. I get it. He wasn't the best rookie in the American League. Unfortunately, the Rangers had two out of the three. When we were in Vegas for the Super Bowl, the leading candidate to win Rookie of the Year in Vegas was Evan Carter.
Yes.
Second place was Jackson Holliday, and third place was Wyatt Langford. That was in early February. Okay, and Langford might even have been fourth. I might be forgetting somebody else, but it was kind of more Evan Carter and Jackson Holliday were the two major candidates well before spring training started. But then Wyatt Langford had a great spring training. All the odds changed, and he became the favorite before the season started. Now, he didn't have the Rookie of the Year season.
I agree.
But to not be one of the three finalists is idiotic from Major League Baseball.
If people really want to give a message to Major League Baseball, we'll have plenty of Wyatt Langford autographed cards and bats during Peace-a-thon. So bid up that number and really show MLB how stupid they are.
Now, I need to pull up everybody here, but I'm pulling up Austin Wells because when I saw his face last night.
He's the one who's the tipping point for
you. Joke. Yeah. This is an absolute joke, Major League Baseball. I'm going to give the numbers that I gave during Crosstalk. So if you weren't listening during Crosstalk, what's your deal? But if you're listening right now, then you get to hear it. And if you're listening, then you get to hear it again. I'm going to give you every stat here of these two players. First of all, this. Wyatt Langford. There were six rookie of the months you could win in the American League. There's 6 months to the season.
He won two?
He won two of the six.
Did Austin Wells at least win two?
I don't even know. Nobody cares about Austin Wells.
Okay.
Obviously they do.
I thought your answer was just going to be no.
He's a Yankee, so he must have done everything perfect. Great. Well, you know what? Next year, Rangers, change your jerseys to pinstripes at home. See if that helps out with these award things. All right. And then he won Player of the Month in the American League in September.
Like, not rookie.
Not rookie. He did win Rookie of the Month, too. But so there were six times you could win Player of the Month. Those went to Aaron Judge, Bobby Witt Jr., players like that, Juan Soto. And Wyatt Langford snuck in there and won one of those stinking things.
This doesn't make sense at all. I'm looking at the numbers, dude.
This is an absolute joke, and this hurts the Rangers. I will explain this again. Last year in the draft, pick 31 went to the Baltimore Orioles. Pick 32 went to the Arizona Diamondbacks. And if you're not following baseball too much, you're like, why? They put in an incentive to not leave your best prospects in the minor leagues to manipulate their contracts to get them for 7 years. They said, I'll tell you what. If your guy comes in and wins Rookie of the Year, if you called him up in June, it doesn't matter. If he wins Rookie of the Year, it counts as a full season.
Yeah.
Maybe not for pension, but it does count for, like, too bad. They won you not only Rookie of the Year, and they get the benefit of it counting as a full season, so they only have to play five more years in the major leagues before free agency.
But the team gets a
benefit. You get a first-round pick if you win Rookie of the Year, you get a first round pick. Well, what happens if you finish second and third? Because Wyatt wasn't probably going to win this.
Yeah.
Okay, fine. You get more international spending money. So is there an international free agent that the Rangers kind of want?
Yes, the pitcher we've been talking about for like 2-3 months.
I don't know. Do the Yankees want that guy?
Yes.
Well, they gave those fart knockers 2 out of the 3 candidates here for Rookie of the Year. That's not right. It's not fair.
Yeah.
I agree. The pitcher, it's G-I-L, but I think it's pronounced Hill.
Hill.
He deserves it. He had a better year than Wyatt Langford. So just so you don't think I'm too biased here, if I had the vote between Hill and Langford for Rookie of the Year, I'm voting for the pitcher. I'm not voting for Wyatt Langford. But now, here are the stats from Wyatt Langford. He had 126 hits. He had 16 home runs. He hit 253. Those are very basic stats. 126, 16, and 253. Austin Wells, 81 hits, 13 home runs, and a 229 batting average. Austin Wells, you're a loser to Wyatt Langford. Not overall, but like,
yeah,
he lost those three battles. Okay, let's go to other counting stats. Wyatt Langford had the exact same amount, 74 runs, 74 RBIs. 19 stolen bases. I get stolen bases aren't a huge deal, especially from a catcher. You're not expecting them.
Yeah.
Still a lot. 74 and 19. Austin Wells, 42 runs. Were you walking around the bases? Geez, score a run. I thought you were a Rookie of the Year candidate. 55 RBIs. I'm sorry, my guy had 19 more RBIs and about 140 more runs scored. Really more like 32. But it was a lot.
Baseball Reference says that Austin Wells' debut was September 1st. Does that sound correct to you guys?
Of 2023.
23. Okay, gotcha. All right.
Yeah.
I was going to say,
he didn't qualify
okay, gotcha.
Last year. Just like Evan Carter was a Rookie of the Year candidate this year. Okay. And then one stolen base to 19. I'm not going to praise Wyatt Langford for getting more stolen bases than a catcher. They're a catcher for a reason. Okay. Now we go to on-base percentage, slugging percentage, OPS, and OPS plus. Here's Austin Wells, who's going to finish third in Rookie of the Year voting.
The way he says his name every time.
322 on-base percentage. Congratulations, Austin Wells. You took Jose Trevino's job. And I do love Jose Trevino.
Oh.
Slugging percentage, 395. Man, you are slugging, Mr. Austin Wells. 718 OPS and a 103 OPS plus. Gosh, how could Wyatt Langford ever compete? With a 325 OPS, a 415 slugging, a 740 OPS, and a 111 OPS plus. That is a clean sweep in every category.
Every category.
Is Austin Wells the best defensive catcher since Pudge?
No. The answer's no. Okay. What in the world happened here?
I don't know.
Well,
last year it was Josh Young, and I get Josh Young got hurt. Gunnar Henderson, I love Josh Young. Josh Young got blown out of the water by Gunnar Henderson. Shouldn't even have been close. You're voting for Rookie of the Year. 100% of the vote should go to Gunnar Henderson versus Josh Young. Josh Young should have finished third. I remember looking at this and going, how is Josh Young the starting all-star third baseman? And now here comes the kicker to screw over the Rangers. They said, you know what? Doesn't matter how your team plays. We're not putting Josh Young in this category just because his team won 90 games and he came up with a whole bunch of clutch hits and was a really good player on a good team. Then the next year comes about and they go, well, you know what? This Austin Wells played on a team that won the division and they got a bye. And they well, what the crap happened from 2023? I thought you said that team success had nothing to do with it. Now you revert back to, well, the Yankees deserve everything. Screw the Yankees.
Whew.
This isn't fair.
Let me just ask you. I'm not saying it's going to happen. If somehow Austin Wells won Rookie of the Year, would
you get traded to the Rangers tomorrow? I'm in big trouble.
No, I just want to say, if he won Rookie of the Year, would you come back on air with another rant against Austin Wells?
Yes, he's not going to win.
I don't think so either.
Because he's going to finish third. Like it's a two-person race. I need to look up. I believe it's Colton Cowser, right, from Sam Houston State. I think Hill won the Sporting News Rookie of the Year, but it's going to be between those two guys.
Yep.
And you know what? I'm not voting Wyatt Langford over those two guys. I will vote
But you think he should have been in?
There's no way Austin Wells. There's not one thing that suggests Austin Wells. By the way, WAR 2.5, Wyatt Langford 3.9. That's significant. That's not close.
Yeah.
If you have a 3.9 WAR player and they're both free agents, and Austin Wells is a 2.5, I'm not saying what their potential is. Let's just say you go into free agency and you have two guys that are 3.9 to 2.5. That dude is getting double the amount of salary. That dude is getting $30 million a year, and the 2.5 is getting $15 to $18 million per year. Like, that's just facts on how much WAR plays in contracts. So he destroys them in every category. And they're like, you're not worthy of being in the three finalists?
Yeah.
That's an absolute joke.
I'm with you, and I'm not saying it will be the difference, but what if the difference for Sasaki came down to...
Right. Oh, you didn't have the $500,000 extra. Now, the Dodgers don't have that, but if you lose to the Yankees, and I don't think you will here. I do think he's going to be with the Dodgers, Sasaki. But if you look at what the Rangers have lost, they lost approximately last year the Josh Young screw job, lost them a really nice Latin American prospect. Or right now you'd have that extra money to maybe compete with the Dodgers before December 15th. I don't know if you'd have withheld that money. And now you would have this money to add to the Sasaki race. And if you wouldn't get him, then you go get a Latin American player that you really like. Maybe you find the next Sebastian Walcott and you're able to outbid a team by $200,000 because Wyatt Langford deservedly should be third in Rookie of the Year voting. Instead, it seems like it's an intentional thing to screw over the Rangers here. And I don't think it's intentional to screw over the Rangers more than is give more money to the Yankees because the ratings suggest that the Yankees get, and they do.
It's factual. Sure.
More people, a zillion more people watch the Yankees over the Rangers. But that's not fair. It's wrong for them to look at everything and go, what was Austin Wells better at? The only thing you can say is their team was way better. It wasn't even close. Austin Wells produced decently for a great team. Well, then why did you screw over Josh Young last year?
Answer the question, MLB.
Yeah, that is a fantastic
I want you on the
question.
Show right now, MLB.
Yeah. Oh, call in.
Okay, we'll see what we can do.
Is there a person in MLB or just all of MLB?
Rob Manfred.
All right.
He's great.
He's the main
Talk
guy.
To him about the medal.
I'm called Tony Clark. He was my former teammate. He's part of the Players Association. He has absolutely nothing to do with this, but I'll yell at him too.
Okay. I don't know if that's incentive to call in or not, but we'll see how it goes. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, we will talk with our Dallas Cowboys insider, Mickey Spagnola. Plus, nobody cares about your fantasy football team, but today we do. So give us your triumphs and heartbreaks. 877-881-1053. We'll do it next right here on The Fan.